I love basketball. I mean, I love all the major sports. I would like nothing better than seeing another major sports team in Vancouver again.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a if it's bringing the Grizzlies back, bring him back. I'll be happy to bring the Grizzlies back.
Yes. Yes. I'll take any team. I'll take any team. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to be picky. I won't, you know, if you want to bring the Golden State Warriors up, even better.
Why not? Why not? I mean, Oracle Arena is an old dump. So maybe, just maybe, they need a new arena. Come to Vancouver.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Now, Gord Locke says, it would work in Vancouver. New generation is all about basketball. Way more kids play basketball at local schools and parks versus street hockey in Vancouver.
Affordability.
Nowadays.
You only need to buy shoes.
Yeah. Well, all right. Let's bring in Michael Lee into this conversation. Covers the NBA for Yahoo Sports. Hey, Michael, thanks for joining us here on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver.
And, thanks for having me on.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thank you. And we're having fun with this because there's, you know, Chris Mannix was talking about how if the Grizzlies don't get the draft lottery luck and the team continues to spiral out of control, maybe just maybe in a few years the team might move. Can you see the Grizzlies relocating yet again if they don't sort of right this ship soon?
Well, they're the one team that has a lease agreement that, you know, will allow them to leave. And Memphis isn't necessarily a big money city. You know, the revenue they produce, the attendance that they get, is not comparable to a lot of other cities in the league. So they kind of have to be good to draw crowds. You got to remember, I remember doing a story a few years ago, the first 7 years in Memphis, the attendance was worse than the 7 years in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people say that Vancouver was a failure, but Memphis was really struggling the first 7 years in that city. They just did not connect to this more of a college basketball town. They like the Memphis Tigers. So I think that there's always that opening because Seattle is a place where there's money and there's revenue. There's an opportunity for if there's an ambitious owner who can make the purchase. If you move that team to Seattle, you have a franchise that's going to generate a lot more revenue than if it's in Memphis. So I think there is a possibility. I think it's important for them to have a foundational player they can build around. If not, I could see it happening. I don't see the league expanding anytime soon. So I think that, you know, moving would be the most likely option. And I think that when you look around the league, the most unstable location is probably Memphis.
Yeah, no question about that. And I mean, I guess it depends also on what happens in the draft lottery. When you look at this year's draft, before we get to the game last night and setting up game two between the Celtics and the Cavaliers, how much talent do you think there is in this year's draft, especially when you compare it to last year's where you saw so many talented players come out?
I actually think there's a lot, probably it's probably more top heavy. I thought that last year's draft had a lot of depth. I think there's, when we look back, we'll see a lot of players sort of in the back end of that draft that turned out to be pretty good solid pros. With this one, I think that when you look at Ayton and Bagley and Doncic and, you know, Jaren Jackson and like Junior, you see a lot of names of guys who have the potential to be really big time stars. So I think that it's going to be important to get one of those, say, top five picks. So I think after that, then you're sort of kind of rolling the die a bit who you wind up getting. But I think that the top has a lot of potential for some big time stars. And I think the fact that there isn't a clear cut number one. You know, obviously a lot of people think Ayton, a lot of people like Doncic as well. So I think that's what's going to make it a pretty intriguing draft. But I think that the talent is good. I think the league is in a really good place because you're going to constantly add more young talent that can make the league much more entertaining and intriguing going forward.
Michael, we saw the game one between the Golden State Warriors and the Rockets play out. And despite every bit of effort from James Harden to try and will this team over, it just wasn't enough. A 13-point loss to the Warriors, they really got out of hand in the third quarter. Is there anything the Rockets can possibly do to pick up maybe two wins in this series, or is this pretty much over and done with Golden State being so heavily favored?
I don't want to believe that it's over because I want to be entertained.
Yeah, me too.
Since the first round, it really hasn't been much to get excited about. Mm-hmm. The series has been so fast. But if you look at the Warriors and what they've been since they added Kevin Durant, I mean, they're 25-3. And they never had a series go six games. And honestly, they haven't faced a team like the Rockets during this span. But I think that, you know, one thing that Houston has to do is they have to play their style, but play it much better. You know, they have to be able to get their shooters to knock down open shots, which they didn't do. You know, a lot of people were saying they can't play ISO ball, but that's what they've done that's what they did for 82 games. They won 65 wins playing that style of play. They just got to get better defensively. They're going to have to find a way to get the ball out of Kevin Durant's hands much quicker. They can't let him just shoot over people. You know, he's a 7-foot jump shooter, and he doesn't miss in the mid-range. So it's going to be very difficult if you just let him go to work on P.J. Tucker or anybody else that you throw at him, Trevor Ariza, because he can just lift his arm and he's already at 10 feet. So I think that's going to be what they have to be better defensively.
Yeah.
And they have to just expect their role players to actually knock down shots and just hope that Klay Thompson doesn't hit six threes and hope that, you know, make somebody else beat. Make Andre Iguodala be the guy that gets the open looks, you know, double off of him a lot more and force him to be a bit of a scorer, which he's not comfortable doing anyway. But make Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala be the guys that take those shots instead of Klay Thompson, who wound up getting an inordinate number of wide-open three-pointers. Mm-hmm. He had four wide-open three-pointers, which for a guy who shoots like him, you're basically begging for him to beat you.
Yeah, I mean, look, Chris Paul, and this is not surprising to anyone, but Chris Paul, James Harden, the Rockets were performing better when these two were in ISO, so I don't think they're going to change up any part of that. But the big knock against Harden, of course, is that the guy doesn't play a lot of defense. Is there any chance that they're going to pull out a series, make it a little bit more enticing for fans to watch if James Harden can't get involved on the other side of the ball?
I wouldn't blame him for the cause of their defensive woes. I think that it was sort of a lot of team breakdowns. I think that James, when he's engaged, he actually does bring it on a defensive end. I think he's sort of become a bit of a meme where people look at the highlights of the defensive lapses or the times that he's not focused. But I think you could do that for any player in the league. It's just his is magnified more. But I think that he's not a terrible defensive player. He's just not always engaged because of what he has to do on the offensive end. I think if you're giving 41 points and doing everything you can to, you know, basically take it to everybody, because he worked very hard for every shot that he got off last night. I think to ask him to just be a lockdown defender every possession is sort of unfair. Nobody does that. Not even LeBron does that. I just think that what they need to do is just get better as a team, find a way to get the ball out of Durant's hand a lot faster, come with the double team a lot quicker. Maybe even go with Clint Capella, as a guy who you can put on him to at least add some length so that he doesn't have such an easy look at the rim. Because if he's 7 feet tall and you got a 6'4 guy on him, what's that 6'4 guy going to do to obstruct his shot in any way? So they could do some little tweaks defensively. But I wouldn't put anything on James Harden as the blame on that end. I think that's sort of a story that's sort of kind of taken on a life of its own. But if you actually watch, he's still pretty active. He gets steals. He does a lot of things on the defensive end that go unnoticed. But he's not the problem there.
We're talking hoops with NBA senior writer Michael Lee for Yahoo Sports. And game two between the Cavaliers and the Celtics go tonight. And game one, it was just what we saw from the Celtics before in the playoffs. And that is Brad Stevens getting the most out of his team. What do you see happening tonight? Because in the NBA going down 0-2, I mean, teams have come back, but it doesn't happen very often. How pivotal is this game for the Cavaliers?
Well, the one thing that I've noticed about this postseason is that if you look at every round from the first round against Indiana, last round against Toronto, and then this round against Boston, LeBron really does use game one as a fill-out game. Mm-hmm. And he had really bad performance in game one. They lost. He had another bad shooting night against the Toronto Raptors, and they should have lost. If the Raptors could have made one layup in the last 2 mm-hmm. minutes of the game, they win, and we look at that series a lot differently. But for whatever reason, they just – it's hard to make a shot when your hands are on your neck, and I think the Raptors had a problem doing that.
Yeah.
but I think that game two is when you start to see LeBron turn it up. You start to see him play at a different level. I think you're going to see a lot more Tristan Thompson. They're going to try to do things that limit the amount of time that Marcus Morris is matched up against LeBron, because he really got physical with him, made him work a lot more harder. He's going to get his shots off no matter what, but you got to make him work, and you can't let the other guys torch you. And I think Boston's a disciplined enough defensive unit. Brad Stevens is going to do enough to come up with a game plan that's going to really maximize the strength of his guys. And it's going to be tougher because like the game twos, Cleveland has had no trouble in game twos. But the thing about Boston is that they're relentless. So mm-hmm. even if they have their best game, Boston knows that it could even play a little bit better, which is going to make it a real intriguing matchup, because we know we've seen LeBron play, lights out all postseason, but he's got to really be come through with some superhuman performances against the Celtics team, because they are a really well-coached, disciplined bunch.
And you know what? The thing about LeBron James, which is astonishing to me, Michael, is the fact that he keeps getting better. To me, this is the best I've seen LeBron play ever, and he's into his mid-30s already. I'm almost into his mid-30s. And like, have you seen anything like this? I mean, I know Michael, you know, did something similar, but a guy who's just keeps getting better and better into his 30s. I mean, to me, it's just remarkable how he's getting this done, and I can't think of him not getting to the NBA Finals again this year. Is he too good to lose at this point when it comes to being in the East, at least?
Yeah, no, I mean, he's dominated the East for a long time, but I think this year, the reason why we've seen him play at this level and just really, you know, elevate his game is that there was a lot of reasons for it. Mm-hmm. You know, one, the Warriors left him dead almost in the finals. They destroyed the Cavaliers, and, you know, he had to recover from that. Two, Kyrie Irving left him, you know, and LeBron is a guy who really cares about his teammates. He's a guy that really wants to make sure they're all involved and they're all together. That's one of the reasons why you see them wearing those corny suits to each road game.
Right.
So Kyrie left them. So I think that's another thing. He wants to, you know, prove that, you know, let Kyrie know, hey, you made a mistake leaving me. He wants to let the Warriors know to say, you can't bury me. I'm never going to go away. So he had a lot of sorts of motivation. He's already a great talent. You give him the motivation, you're going to see what you've seen this year, and that's a guy who's determined to stay on top no matter how old he gets, and he's not going to rest up, he's not going to slow down, and if you count him out, he's going to come back even harder. And I think that's sort of what happened. This offseason sort of made LeBron, you know, turn it up with his focus even more than ever, and that's why you're seeing this wonderful season, and we should really embrace it and cherish it.
Sportsnet 650.